Welcome to And Justice for All, the official podcast of Roosevelt University, exploring the relationship between education and justice and the transformative power of inclusive education. Hosted by Roosevelt University President Ali Malekzadeh.
This week's episode is a little different. No host, just two students talking. We get to hear their stories of how they found their way to Roosevelt. Mia Moore and Antea Zachary are both members of the Honors Program. They will tell us how they found their way to the Honors Program and found a place where they belong, where they can think critically and better understand themselves. Mia Moore is a junior at Roosevelt and hails from the south suburbs of Chicago. She's majoring in history with a double minor in social justice studies and sociology. In addition to being a member of the Honors Program, Mia is also a McNair Scholar, treasurer of the Phi Alpha Theta History Honors Society, a Mansfield Institute Fellowship for Activism and Community Engagement Fellow, a Dean's List student, a member of the Honors Program's Advisory Board, and an Honors Experiential Learning Research Fellow through the Office of Student Research. Mia is also a music enthusiast and has a genuine passion for learning. Antea Zachary is third-year honors student at Roosevelt University, grounded and inspired by her upbringing on the south side of Chicago and northwest Indiana. She is committed to and passionate about understanding the needs of communities. She is a witness to the change dynamics that shape opportunity and empowerment within societies, which has led her to pursue a social justice studies major. Outside of being a program and research assistant at Roosevelt University, Antea works as an intern for the National Women in Agriculture Association and volunteer for One Earth Film Festival. She has an avid love for reading and passion for knowledge as free trade. Enjoy their conversation.
Good morning. My name is Antea Zachary. I am a junior at Roosevelt University, and I am a social justice studies major with a minor in political science. And I'm joined today with my friend and peer, Mia Moore. Hi, Mia.
Hi, Antea. My name is Mia Moore. I am a second year student at Roosevelt, and I'm also a junior. Mm-hmm. I major in history, and I have double minors in sociology and social justice studies.
Awesome. And so today we're just kind of talking about our educational journeys at Roosevelt and getting to know each other more. The first thing I kind of wanted to start off with, Mia, is kind of in tandem with the, you know, every year the Honors Program has a theme that supports our learning, that drives how we interact with each other in classes. So I kind of want to start with, and that theme this year is what's in a name. And I kind of want to start with what's in your name? Mia Moore. Sounds French. Mia Moore. Mm-hmm. So I want to know.
I took French in high school. My French teacher, he would call my full name, like not just my first name. He would say like first and last. It was great. But for my name, I don't know. My parents, like, they were trying to be clever. Mm-hmm. And so like Mia Moore, like the, like, French or Spanish, yeah. Like for my love.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. I used to not really like my name for some reason, but like, I don't know. I realized that's kind of cool. Like my parents were kind of clever with that. Like, I don't know. So it's cool now. What about you?
It's very beautiful. My name has no meaning to my mother, which is very, I mean, it has meaning, but when she came up with it, it was kind of her ingenuity and creativity, which is very funny because, you know, my two older brothers both have kind of biblical names. And then my youngest sister has a name tied to the family, but I kind of came along with this name without meaning. I knew there was creativity behind it, but I've had to create meaning for it myself, which I think is kind of why I've also loved the honors theme this year, just making meanings out of names. So the meaning I've kind of started to find and see in myself as a person, as a student, as a being, is kind of everything and nothing at the same time. That O at the beginning of my name I used to hate for so long, but it bears such a resemblance to zero. So everything and nothing at the same time. It's kind of just how I've thought of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the honors retreat, like right before the school started, and it was like the first honors event of the year almost. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we did, it was like a workshop and we talked about our names.
Oh.
And like what they mean to us. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that one? It was like equated to like a symbol, a color. Do you remember your answers to it?
I wasn't there because I transferred to Roosevelt, so I kind of missed that.
No way, I thought you were there. Okay. I think you would have enjoyed it. It was great. It reminds me of some of the things that come up like in the honors exchange, and just like the idea around Jane, like what the name Jane means. But we kind of just talked about what our names mean to us and how we've assigned the meaning, kind of like what you were just talking about. It was really fun. It was really fun.
Right. That sounds awesome. So I'm kind of curious now that I've kind of gotten an understanding of your name and how you think of yourself with tied to your name. Who are you as a person? Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in the south suburbs of Chicago. I live like maybe on a good day, like 30 minutes from like the South Loop downtown, like pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know, I've been in the south suburbs pretty much my whole life. I went to like elementary, middle, and high school here, and then like obviously go to Roosevelt downtown.
Yeah.
But like, I think that has a role in how I felt about my name for so long, like where I grew up. Because there's so many different kinds of people where mm-hmm. I live and like who I went to school with. And like, I never thought my name was interesting like theirs were. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. So I don't think I've ever really thought about it that deeply. Right. But now considering it, I do think it had kind of an effect on how I feel about my name and how I've come to feel about my name.
Yeah.
What about you? Where did you grow up? What's your story?
I grew up on the south side of Chicago in Market Park. I spent a long time of my childhood there and was very, 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 very reserved as a child, which a lot of people would not believe now as they see me as an adult. But I grew up very reserved. Marquette Park isn't the greatest of areas, so I didn't really have too many friends at school. I went to just a couple blocks away from where I was raised. It was McKay Elementary. It was very violent, very underfunded. So I grew up a very shy child. I went to school with my head in the books all the time, would be in the bag. My best friend was always the teacher as a child. So I just was very, very, very introverted, which is so fascinating because after having that experience on the south side until about, I want to say middle school, I believe, I moved out to Munster, Indiana. And I kind of, before that, traversed after the south side in different areas in Chicago, moved to the north side, but I kind of skip over that because Munster, Indiana, and that move was the most pivotal moment in my life. So I moved to Munster, Indiana when I started sixth grade, I believe. And it's funny, you talk about your name, but Munster, Indiana was so different for me compared to living on the south side. Yeah, it was a very white institution in town. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the school facilities were tremendously amazing. There were sports. There were after-school curriculars like clubs, Spanish club, French club, you name it. There's all these clubs. There's speech and debate team. There were football games, which I could never comprehend. If you had told me on the south side, imagine living in a town where there's a high school football game and mm-hmm. the entire town shows up to it on Fridays and nothing happens at those games. There's no fights breaking out. There's no police. Everyone's having fun. It's a fun rivalry. Like those are things I didn't really imagine as existing or mm-hmm. thought could ever exist until I moved to Munster, Indiana. Yeah. And being that shy, introverted child when I got to Munster, Indiana, and this is kind of where I loop in the experience you had with your name being in Chicago as interesting, because when I moved to Munster, nobody had a name like mine. Nothing was diverse in the sense that everyone kind of had these more traditional names, and mm-hmm. teachers there struggled with my name. So I told people, call me Taya. I don't want to hear the on, just say Taya, because somehow the on was complicated. So I felt complicated. My identity there felt complicated. My walking those hallways felt complicated, but I became more extroverted in that environment because I was going to, like, I was just not living in the books anymore. I joined sports, was on the swim team. Yeah, I did Young Chicago Authors while I was in high school out there. So joined poetry club, all of these things. So an adventure for me school-wise. Yeah. I kind of want to ask you, what was school like for you, though?
Honestly, I had an experience that was similar to yours. Like, there's two things that you said that, like, really resonated. So, like, being reserved, that was me. I'm, like, still kind of shy. I'm still very shy, like, honestly. But, like, I don't know. I didn't have many friends in school. I was also, like, just always reading and studying. I literally didn't go outside. I was always just, like, doing homework and things like that. And, like, honestly, I'm just now growing out of it. Like, after coming to, like, college and having a job, I work, like, in a restaurant. So, like, you have to talk to people. Yeah. I think that combined with coming to college and, like, I don't know, it's a more social environment. And so I'm just now coming out of my shell. And then also, even though I don't think my name is terribly difficult, I don't even think yours is terribly difficult. But, like, I had a lot of people mispronounce my name in school to the point where I, like, would answer to something else. People, a lot of teachers, like, didn't care to learn my name. Or just, like, students as well. Like, people called me Maya a lot. Mm-hmm. And that just became my name. Like, and that's probably bad, but it's true. Yeah. Like, and I have a class this semester with a Maya in the class. And, like, every time the name Maya is said, I, like, look up and think that I'm being addressed. But that's not my name. Yeah. But I don't know. I just...
Has that had an impact at all? So it seems like we share a commonality with loving learning. With being in the books as children and kind of reserved, but these very intellectual beings that are very quiet.
Yeah.
But does your experience with your name have an impact at all with how you feel about school? Or because I know it's interesting you say that, but too, like, that how you say, you think you'd answer to your name being called. And too, in my Spanish class this semester, I keep answering to the wrong name. I have still not corrected her at all. It's very interesting to do that, to not correct somebody on your name when we've both, at the beginning of this conversation together, both shared that we find this power in our names now, but we still have these moments where we're lifting our heads up and answering to names that aren't our own or allowing others to continue to mispronounce it. So in any way, does that impact your learning environment at school at all?
I think it did more so in high school because it feels like a lot of my teachers just didn't care enough to like learn my name, which you think is like a pretty basic thing. So it's just like, how can I want to be or just be fully engaged in the class and like, like we're not on the same page as far like just as far as just learning my name. But like I feel like it's been a little different in college. There still have been times when people have mispronounced my name, and I'm kind of like you, I don't correct them, and I we need to unpack that because like why
we can tell people our names, but really do
I don't know. So I think a concise answer would be more so in high school than college, but it definitely still has an impact on my learning, especially this year with the theme, because now I think about names and everything.
Right. Yes.
What about you? How's it impacted your learning, or has it impacted your learning?
Right. It's funny because I think I actually am very similar. In high school, I felt very alienated for some reason, but I still never took strength in myself to say, this is how you pronounce my name. And interestingly enough, finding myself at Roosevelt in college has been, especially with, you know, the honors program directors, Sarah Maria and Marjorie Jalas, they have the way they powerfully say my name and talk to other. And I don't know if you can relate to that, how they powerfully talk to others about you and say, this is Mia Moore and this is Antea Zachary and this is what they're doing, has really solidified the power in my name and who I am and what I'm doing, and has made me feel welcomed at Roosevelt. So, and I guess in a way that kind of leads me into another question for you is, how did you find yourself at Roosevelt?
Honestly, it's like a strange story. It's, well, not strange. It's just like, it's not one of those, this was like, I was so passionate about, like, it eventually came to that, but it started out a bit shallow. Like, I graduated high school in May of 2020. So, like, COVID had hit, like, that March. And so, like, schools were, like, it was weird. I didn't know if I still wanted to go away. My original plan was to go to a school in Georgia. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know if I still wanted to do that, if it was still possible or safe to do that. Right. So I started considering my options in Illinois. Mm-hmm. And also, like, getting financial aid got really hard. There were, like, most of the schools I got accepted into, I could not afford. Mm-hmm. So I started trying to find other options. And it was, like, getting close to the time where, like, my school was asking for, like, a decision. I was like, I don't know, like, you know? And so... Mm-hmm. Literally one day, this is so strange. One day, like, I remember it was a Saturday, and I woke up and I was like, Rose, that's a pretty flower. Roosevelt. Strange. I don't know why I put them together. But, like, and my school had this, like, wall looking into the library, and it had all the pictures of graduating seniors and what schools they were going to. And I remember there was one picture that had Roosevelt under it. And I think, like, just, like, passing it every day. And then one day I just thought about it. And I was like, Rose is a pretty flower. Maybe Roosevelt is a pretty school. I don't know. Mm. So then I just, like, looked it up. And then I found out that it was, like, one of the only schools either in the Midwest or maybe in the nation that has, like, a social justice program.
Yeah.
And I was like, no way. Is this real? Like, it felt like it was supposed to happen.
Right.
Because, like,
that's.
I don't know. I just, like, I feel like in other schools, like, our social justice studies program might be integrated into something like sociology. Mm-hmm. But the fact that Roosevelt had, like, a distinctive, separate social justice studies program was what drew me in. And then I, like, literally applied that same Saturday and, like, heard back the next week. And I was like, yeah, I'm going. It's fine. Like, it's fine.
That's awesome.
I know you're a transfer, right? So, like, you've been to other schools. How do you find Roosevelt?
So, I love your story, by the way. That's very beautiful.
Thank you.
I, too, very much believe in kind of when things are right, they present themselves. Hmm. And that's your kind of the journey. And doors open for you that you weren't expecting at strange times. But in high school, I applied to several different schools. And I had, which is very strange because I'm a very, very high achieving student and scored really well on tests and had a great GPA coming out of high school. But I had a really hard experience getting into college, which was baffling to my family, to my friends, especially considering I had demonstrated so much growth as a student coming from Chicago public schools to Munster High School. I was so behind in so many subjects, but I was so determined to prove that I was as smart and as intelligent and deserved as much space in the world of academics as a student that other students got. But during my junior year of high school, my grandmother actually passed away. And that year, my grades actually just tanked. And I pulled myself back together for my senior year, and I actually believe, despite all the A's and B's I got my freshman, sophomore, and senior year, schools, when I was applying to them, would ask me to come to campus and interview. One school specifically I think of is DePaul, which was the most heartbreaking experience I had applying to colleges, because I really wanted to go so bad. And I went to my interview, and the question they asked me was, what happened your junior year? And I expressed that my grandmother had passed away and my grades just fell apart. And it took some time, but I pulled myself back together. But they got back to me, and I just didn't make it into the school, and justifying that's what happened. So, and I think a lot of schools held that one semester, that one school year against me.
Yeah.
So I had a hard time getting into schools. I too also thought I was going to be an athlete in college. I applied to Sarah Lawrence and was speaking to the coach there about being recruited for the swim team, but things just did not work out for me financially for school, financially, and a lot of schools holding back on that one semester, like something, I don't know if we can trust you with this one semester. So I ended up applying to one school called Green Mountain College that was in Vermont, because I remember wanting an education that was out of the ordinary. And I think that's something I really strongly desired after going to a STEM-based high school and feeling like I was being taught as a receptacle in STEM and science. And I just wanted to break free out of that for a moment. So I applied to that school and I got in, but they accepted me knowing that they didn't have the funds to run for another semester in the school, and actually ended up shutting down. And I had no other backup schools. I had no other plans, because all the other acceptances I couldn't afford.
Yeah.
So they shut down. But they proposed that they would send my application to Prescott College. And I had no idea what Prescott College was, but I was so terrified that I just didn't have any options. I checked out the website. It seemed so very adventurous. And one of the first things you look at on their website is social justice. And that is similarly to you, that social justice, it's what took me there. So I applied. They were a school that was giving me more than enough money that I could afford to be there. And I went there. And I very, 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 very much loved my time there. My first year, I did things like backpacking for a month as my orientation to the college, which was crazy because I had never seen nature like that. I had never seen centipedes like this big. Right. And in that time, we had to do a solo orientation, and I had never spent such intimate time with myself in the woods just alone. And it was just an awe-inspiring experience. I got to do things like live in Mexico with a host family, learning Spanish. Like things like that. So I got tremendous opportunities I don't know I've seen other schools offer, in the sense that we traveled a lot in our learning. And then my second semester there came, and I was a very, very kind of recognized and accomplished person at the school, from administration and faculty to students. In my first year, I was nominated to be the advocacy coordinator on the student union board. And then I was a part of the Black Student Union, but I only acted as a secretary that semester. And then when I got to my sophomore year, I was then the president. I was still on the student union board. I became an RA. So I was a resident assistant for students that were coming into the dorms following COVID and everything. I also was a student of color mentor. So any students of color that were coming in as first years, I would work with admissions to welcome them in and ensure that they saw someone like themselves there.
Wow.
Right. And so I had a lot of leadership positions. I was working several different jobs, and Trump and his election kind of came along and kind of really tore at the loose threads of what I thought was for myself at that school. I realized I was giving so much to a community that didn't feel like they valued me as a student. When that election came along, there was this like militia of super right-wing extremists that came to protest when these high schoolers had decided they wanted to do a Black Lives Matter protest in the square, which is just like five blocks away from the school campus. 300 people showed out to this town square, mm-hmm. and were armed with guns. There were children standing there with guns.
What?
And I went to that protest as one of like 10 brown people there and was absolutely terrified. There were people spitting on me. There were people screaming in my face. And I remember it destroyed my experience there so much. It,
yeah.
I was like, and the school did nothing about it. They did nothing about it. I was also in so many leadership positions. At one point, I actually brought something to admissions and to the school that I was being experiencing microaggressions in the workplace and being sexualized as a Black woman.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of told me that things I was saying weren't real, although I had evidence. So I realized,
what?
I was like, I'm giving so much energy to this school and I feel worthless here. I'm putting mm-hmm. so much in it and energy into a place that's not giving back to me. So I dropped out the next semester, stopped going there, withdrew, and I took a semester off because it was simultaneously the pandemic.
Yeah.
So I went back home and I did a couple things with protests in Chicago for Black Lives Matter when George Floyd happened, and kind of was just at home. Like, what are my next steps? I was so yeah. lost. I would just sit in my bedroom and just, I didn't know. I didn't know where to go. And I never wanted to stay local for school. So finding Roosevelt was something I never expected. My mom was kind of just one day like, why don't you look at the schools in this city? So I looked at Roosevelt and I was like, I don't, and similar to you, it wasn't really like a deep story, but I was like, oh, I need to do something. And I guess this is it. So I applied and I got in, and then they started offering me scholarships. And I was like, oh, I can afford this. This is great. Actually, this is such a great financial decision. What made the difference though, was I didn't know an honors program existed. And then all of a sudden I got an email.
Me too. Often
honors. And I was like, oh, you're telling me I belong somewhere here. Mm-hmm. You're telling me that you see me. And I was like, okay. So I applied. And Sarah Maria kind of solidified when I first met her on my Zoom call that I wanted to be at Roosevelt. She asked me so much about myself, was so interested
yeah.
in the leadership positions I spoke about in my application. And she was like, we have a place for you.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be at RU. And that kind of really was where it took off. And I've felt like I've belonged ever since at Roosevelt.
You are listening to And Justice for All, the official podcast of Roosevelt University.
I feel like we're both similar in that it felt like Roosevelt wanted us.
Right.
And that was such a deciding factor for me too.
That was.
Especially when first meeting Sarah Maria and Marjorie. Like, and that's one thing that I like still really appreciate about honors. You can tell that they're like really invested in you as like, not even just as a student, right. but as a person, like as a human being.
Yeah.
And that's like the honors community just fosters such warmth. Like it's
right.
really great. Like you can tell they care about you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one thing that drew me into applying, but that's also mm-hmm. like why I'm so happy to like still be in the honors program.
Right.
Like it's such a great experience.
Right.
But I don't know. I also wanted
yeah.
to comment, you mentioned that you were an athlete in high school, and I just want to commend you because I'm jealous of athletes. I have no athletic abilities. I'm very uncoordinated. I trip in or fall every single day, but it's fine. But
thank you.
What do you like about the honors program? Like, I know you mentioned what drew you in, but
right.
what's happening right now that's like, yeah, this was right.
Yeah, that's a great question. The biggest thing I want to say for me is the students.
Mm-hmm.
When you just spoke about welcoming and how you felt welcomed and like you belong, I feel that all the way down from the faculty in the honors program to the students themselves. And the students, have had such a tremendous impact on me because specifically at Prescott College, I felt like students didn't live in the spirit of the school. Yes, they had a social justice mission, but things like when that protest happened and nobody came to the defense or support of students of color was huge for me. And at Roosevelt, it's like students are the living embodiment of justice. Yeah. And we care about each other and you deserve to feel welcomed in academic space. And I remember I was initially a bit nervous, like, for example, joining the Honors Exchange. And with that, we're exploring the different Janes related to not only Chicago, but Jane Addams, Jane Byrne, and the Jane Abortion Network. And I remember my first day going to Hull House with you all to learn about Jane Addams. And I was standing there. I was a little nervous because I didn't really know anybody yet after our first meeting together. And I remember the woman who was giving us a tour around Hull House asking questions, and students were providing answers, but they were such rich answers. And they would not only provide rich answers, but they were providing questions back. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, don't just stop my learning with that one question you asked me. I'm going to keep asking questions. And I remember just being so astounded with how beautiful and complex the thoughts were coming out of this community of individuals. And that's one of the things the Honors Program really prides itself on. Mm-hmm. Curiosity.
Yeah.
Inquiry. And it's been alive since I joined the Honors Exchange, since I joined honors classes. Like, mm-hmm. that the life that's in that in students has not died out. I don't know if you feel the same way at all.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about your own feelings with that?
Honestly, I really agree. I think what I really like about honors is, like you just mentioned, it prides itself on curiosity, and that's so true. Like, I feel like honors taught me how to think, and that probably sounds like strange, but I really feel like I learned how to think after joining honors at Roosevelt. Like, high school, at least for me, was very structured and almost formulaic. There was one way to do everything, and anything that was different was wrong. And honors was like, ask questions, arrive at your answers in whatever way best fosters your learning, or best, like, like, whatever helps you learn best. Be creative and arrive at the answer. There's no right way to do it. I think that's what I really like about honors. It feels like we are really supposed to be learning in whatever that looks like whatever that may mean. We're supposed to be learning. And I feel like I am, especially compared to high school. It's not just like, here's information, memorize it, recite it on an exam. It's like, think deeply about things. And like metacognition, think about what you're thinking about. Like, that was such a big idea in Honors 101 with Sarah Maria. Like, we had so many assignments that were just reflections. And I didn't realize, like, at the time, I knew that it was, like, there was a reason, like, there was a purpose, but I don't think I understood it quite well at the time. And then, like, after finishing the class, I was like, wow, that was really important. Just, like, taking time to think about what you're thinking about, notice what you notice, and allow that to help you arrive at more questions, more interests, like, just keep building on the curiosity.
Right. I feel, I agree with all of that. I think the reflection part you bring up is so important about honors, because that's such a big element of all these classes and programs you're joining. Even with the Honors Exchange, we have to carry these books with us that we track our learning in, and have to do these reflections in about our experiences going to Hull House and what we thought and what we felt. And I remember doing my reflection when we first went to Hull House and speaking to Lynn Weiner. And, no, not Lynn Weiner.
Louise Knight?
Louise Knight. There we go. Sorry, I'm thinking about the Roosevelt historian. I remember speaking to Louise Knight, and we were sitting at that table with her and in this very historical dining hall. And she said, think about what these walls have heard. And that has shaped my idea of space, history, and time. And in my reflection, I just was so, it's like, it seemed like such a simple thought, but then when you start living in that thought and thinking, gosh, how long these walls have been standing here and the stories they've heard and the emotions they felt along with the people in this room. Thinking about Whole House, that dining hall used to be filled with young people and adults and community members just talking, eating and laughing and crying and loving each other. And to sit there as an honors community, almost having the same experience was stupendous to me. And I guess that leads me into another question about that, because I know that experience for me kind of gave me a sense of home. I wonder if you, either as a Roosevelt student or in the honors program, has an experience as either one of those two, as an honors student or just a student, made you feel at home at Roosevelt?
Honestly, it's almost like accidental. Like what I mean by that, like last spring semester, there was a talk. It was with Professor Warner. It was through the Montesquieu Forum. And I just realized, like, and even just in honors classes and working so closely with Sarah Maria and Marjorie, I realized that I don't think they realize that just, like, the things they choose to say, even if they don't think they have significance, I don't think they realize, like, how impactful their words are. And I had that same experience at Hull House. Like, it feels like some of the things Louise Knight said that I wrote down, I was like, wow, like, she probably doesn't even think that what she just said was, like, significant. But, like, it's sticking with me. Like, not even just, like, the word choice, but, like, that detail. Like, why do you even chose to say that, you know? And I feel like that's something that comes up in honors in general a lot, that I think just, it made me feel like this was the right place, because it's like you're, like, motivating me and like, impacting my learning so deeply. And it doesn't feel forced. Like, it's just like, I'm existing as a curious person and just, like, wanting to learn and explore different things using different methods and genres, and, like, just me doing that is impacting someone, like, impacting the students in the like, I don't know, that idea of just, like, someone else's existence just, like, I don't know if motivating you is the right word, but, like, I don't know, someone else's existence just, like, just them intrinsically impacting you. Right. I think that's where I, like, find home most in honors.
I agree with that. I strongly agree with that. You brought out, speaking, just a lot of emotions for me of feeling that. And you mentioned, while you were talking, working closely with Sarah Maria and Marjorie. Could you expand on that more about what you're doing with them?
Yeah, so we've talked a lot about the Honors Exchange so far, and that's kind of the project that I've been working on since October of 2020. And, like, this kind of goes back to, like, what we talked about earlier, in that they found us and made us feel like we had a place. It was very much that. Like, I got an email one morning from Sarah Maria, and she's like, if you have a few minutes before class, can you give me a call? And I was like, And, like, she just explained, she's like, I really like your work and, like, what you're doing. I want you. We have a project that we think you'd be good on. We wanted to know if you were interested. And I was like, yeah. And, like, so that's how it started. And so I worked initially, I started by doing just basic research on a lot of Jane's. We actually started with more than just the three that we're working with now, Jane Addams, Jane Byrne, and the Jane Collective. We started with a lot of Chicago Jane's, like, musicians, like, just a lot of professionals associated with Chicago named Jane. And so I started by just doing basic research on their lives, what they're known for. And then I have, like, this binder, and I would, like, track things that I saw were, like, coming up across their lives. Even if they existed in different eras and different disciplines, I was still finding overlaps. And that's kind of what eventually built the Honors Exchange. Like, all that research turned into a curriculum that's heavily based on inquiry and noticing what you notice and commenting. We use perusal a lot. And we comment on readings and comment on each other's comments, you know, like that was kind of the whole idea. Like I spent a lot of time tracking things that I noticed and themes that I found using different lenses of fallibility or colonialism, like just different things that I found. And so like, I feel like the honors exchange is kind of the same thing. Like we're all tracking what we find and connecting it across different genres, whether it's like a podcast, a film, an article, a book, like whatever. Like we're just like honors is just, it's inquiry. That's the whole point. Yeah. So like, I mean, that's pretty much been my whole job with honors since October. I'm like over the summer of 2021, I worked as a program assistant and I did, and that was briefly, it was just for the summer. So I also did social media for that, but the social media was centered around promoting the honors exchange and like the different things that we would be exploring with the name Jane and like James in Chicago. And so I don't know. I have learned a lot about the behind the scenes and like curriculum development and what goes into building an honors experience. And I think you have a similar job. So what is it that you do? Who do you work with? And like, what insight have you gained from your work?
So I too work as a program assistant for Sarah Maria and Marjorie.
Okay.
And my work is interesting. It's very organizational. And I think I've gotten, as you said, how you've gotten to learn the honors program and curriculum and seeing that background work, I've also kind of had a foot in the door and in that. Mm-hmm. And I've loved that rather than just being a student in the experience. And it's also kind of something I wanted to commend you on. Like we're also students that have a hand in creating this experience, which is awesome because then you have honor students in the experience, creating the experience for other honor students, you know? And with Sarah Maria and Marjorie, I kind of am doing things like outreach to new incoming honor students. Mm-hmm. And that is so exciting to me because the impact I can make on students joining honors, being able to talk to them about classes. Like I love talking about these experiences I've enjoyed beyond belief and being able to share that and make them fall in love with the learning I'm experiencing to the point that they're like, oh my gosh, I want to experience this. This sounds so great. And just the other day, like in that background work, I actually on the 5th just had hosted at the preview table for honors for the student preview day, I believe. Mm-hmm. And this girl came up and, you know, it was interesting to see students walk past. And I remember mentioning to them, this is so strange how people just look at the sign and turn away because it says honors program. Marjorie was like, yeah, a lot of students look at that sign and don't see themselves here because of what they think an honors program is. And we're trying to stress to students that that's not what we are. We're inquiry, we're love, and we're learning. And then this one girl came up and I walked home with the happiest heart after experiencing this girl. She walked up. She was the only student that walked up and said, the honors program, I've been looking for you, as though she knew was supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And she walks up and she's saying that she's like, I'm so excited. You know, I have this high achieving background and I want to be a part of the honors program. She was so enthusiastic. She was like, this is my dream school. Like I'm falling in love with it just from seeing it, like being on campus today. Yeah. And I got to talk to her as a student, like, so what are you interested in? Like, how do you think honors, being an honors student, is going to shape that? And she talked to me about her love for writing and wanting to start her own. She sounded so ambitious across so many levels that just resonated with me as honors student. And she walked up to that table and knew she deserved to be there. And I just was like, in love, in love. Yeah. It is. It really was. And that's such a memorable moment that'll hold with me because it really saddens me when And being in the backgrounds, like seeing how even talking to people that I know qualify for honors at the school, but aren't in the program. And I ask them why. And they're like, I don't see myself there. I never thought that was for me. And to see her come up to that table was so refreshing because she just was like, I know I'm supposed to be here. Tell me what I'm supposed to do to ensure that I'm here.
Yeah.
It's just tremendous, tremendous.
You also reminded me that like when over the summer when I worked as a program assistant, I also worked in like recruitment and just reaching out to people who were invited and just making sure that they were interested in the program. Like you qualify, but like, how can we make sure that like you're interested? And I think that was one thing that was like frustrating for me because it's just like, you'll love it. Just come, just do it. Like, it's almost like the saying, like, I can show you better than I can tell you. It was that like honors is really something that you have to experience. And I think like, because it says honors program and like what that means in the context of high schools or even other universities, just that title can be intimidating.
Right.
But like, I don't know. I just feel like you almost have to just do it and experience it for yourself to know that there's nothing to be afraid of. Like, it's just like a great experience. It's not It's not more work. It's not harder work. It's just more inquiry. You're asking questions and being creative. And you can do that in class or outside of honors, but like, it's really like a different experience. And so I don't know. I guess I have two questions based off of that. Like, what honors classes are you in now? Or like maybe that you took last semester that you think were just like amazing and further solidified your comfort and choice in coming to the honors program at Roosevelt. And then like, how do you think what you're learning in honors, even not even just in your classes, but having your job and working, doing things like behind the scenes, how do you think you can take that outside of Roosevelt to continue making such an impact that you already have?
So I think definitely the class that's tremendously sitting on me is my Latinx culture and literature class. Just because I have a love for the language, Spanish and culture other than mine, and identities that are so complex. And being in that class has really so informative. But my biggest and most favorite part about it is as we get ready, closer, progressing towards the end of the semester, we work in groups of about four, and we travel to Latino communities in Chicago. And we, the first time we go, we kind of just observe. And then the second time we go, we observe, but then we come back with notes, and we're synthesizing ideas about this time and this space and this place and who's here. And we also conduct interviews. And then our final project, we go back again for the last time and we observe one more time before taking those interviews and taking just ensuring that we go three times to just observe and learn from sight and from talking. And then we synthesize that into a final project. But what I love about it too, is it's so collaborative in the sense we get to travel together while at the same time, our project isn't intertwined with each other. So our learning is so respective and unique. And I love that because sometimes I feel like with those group projects, people's ideas aren't the same and you're trying to figure out like in regular classes how to put them together, and sometimes they're just not cohesive because your learning is going in two different ways, and that professor and that teacher is kind of supporting that learning can go in so many different ways. So that's definitely one of the classes that's sitting on my being really well this semester. I don't know if you have a class, but as far as what honors will do for me in the future, I think it's making me so much more extroverted, so much more free to just create these beautiful, long-lasting relationships. I remember sitting in the cafeteria just a few days ago, and the day before I had caught a girl on the elevator and talked to her. Because I work in the background, I was seeing senior theses, and I actually started reading some of them. And yeah, I caught a girl on the elevator, and I started talking to her about her senior thesis. She was how do you know about that? I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of read your project. She was like, I'm actually so grateful you read it because this is something I'm so passionate about. So we had this kind of interaction in the elevator. And I was sitting in the cafeteria the next day, and I watched these cheerleaders. And their friend came into the cafeteria, and they were like, oh, hey, like, how you doing? You look so cute. I was like, wow, that's so beautiful. I haven't had that experience happen to me here at Roosevelt. And just like that, the same honor student I talked to in the elevator about her senior project walked past me and said, hey, Antea. And I was like, oh my gosh, hi. Mm-hmm. It was just so, that centered home for me. And she remembered my name. She pronounced it right. She was wanted. It was just such a moment of intimacy for me about the community I'm establishing. So I want to carry the ability to carry or grow community everywhere that I think honors teaches us to do. I don't know if you have anything you want to add about that for yourself.
I think the biggest thing that I can take from honors, and you kind of touched on this briefly, is just like that different kinds of learning are okay. And I think that's important to take to, I don't know, grad school or just like in the world, like jobs, wherever, because like being able to creatively arrive at an answer or problem solve, mm-hmm. I think that's truly a skill. And that's something that I'm learning in honors that will definitely travel outside of the program and outside of Roosevelt. Like just goes back to like what I said at the beginning, like honors taught me how to think, like, mm-hmm. and that thinking differently is okay. It's not wrong. It's just different. Like we mm-hmm. all think differently and there are different kinds of learning and that's fine. I think that's something that really resonated with me with being in honors that I'll definitely take out of Roosevelt. And I don't know, the honors course that I'm in right now, it's technically honors. I'm in the Newberry Library Seminar.
Right.
But I think one of my favorite honors courses has been Literature of the Absurd. I took that like in the fall of 2020 with Professor Franconi, who I think you work with.
Yeah, I do.
And that was such a fun class. Like, I was really intimidated. I didn't think like a literature class would be for me, because I was always mm-hmm. like in high school, I never thought I was smart. Like, there's like this, you know, the joke, like, the curtains are blue, what does that mean? Like, you know, I was always thinking this, like, it means the curtains are blue. And then the teacher's like, no, like, it means sadness and sorrow, and that there's an illusion. And I was just like, what? So I didn't think, I was really intimidated by literature classes. But that one was really fun. It was interesting. We read things outside of the traditional literary canon. And I don't know. And I think that class and being in honors in general, it just further solidifies the idea that like different is not wrong. Like, sure, those books were out of the traditional literary canon, but that didn't make them any less worthy of study. And I don't know. I think that's what the honors program embodies very well.
Agreed. Well, thank you so much, Mia, for being here and sharing this conversation with me today. And thank you too for learning alongside of me and living in the honor spirit, questioning, being curious. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Justice for All is produced by Roosevelt University and is available at roosevelt.edu or anywhere you get your podcasts. The music for And Justice for All is written and produced by Jesse Case. Thanks for listening.